very beginning of time, I've told the kids in school, kids have been sort of indoctrinated with the fact that, who's to blame for all the problems of the world? It's all a part of the fact that we fail God. I said, it's like your parents tell you that you're to go and do something and you don't do it, you fail to carry out your responsibility that your parents have given you, and so they have to deal with you. And so any kid you've ever been dealt with by your parents, you've lost your privileges, you've been disciplined, sent to your room. So whose fault is that, yours or your parents? Well, I guess it's my own fault. Of course it's your own fault. So the world's in trouble day before us. I saw that. Dig down the gutter, you mate. But the world's in trouble today because of man, not because of God. God's always given man, time after time, a brand new start. After the Garden of Eden, brand new start. And of course, we found that that ended up with the flood of Noah's day, and so that ended up in failure. And then, of course, we saw how that the time of human government, where Noah was ruling the world, and things went from bad to worse there. And did mankind learn anything from the judgments of God and the failures of man? No.
Well, you've got the...
Did you have it switched on?
It was switched. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know. I messed up on the recording.
You have to start again.
No replays, mate. No replays.
I don't know if it was recording here, so it could have picked it up. Well,
for those that were listening and didn't get it, I'm sorry. We had human failure here in our classroom. Somebody dropped the ball, and it wasn't me. I didn't have the ball. But okay, we're back to where we were. So the flood ended the situation. Noah took over the world, and he's ruling the world, and so... what were they to do? Well, God instituted the death penalty for murder. God promises never to flood the earth again. And so they were to scatter throughout all the earth, and they were to breed and multiply. But yeah, they rebelled against God and failed to do that. They said, let's just stay right here. Let's just build us a metropolis and a tower to heaven. And of course, they sought to build that great tower and city, but God intervened and stepped down there and confounded their language. So after this particular time, God says, I'm finished with mankind as a whole. I'm going to deal with one man. I'm going to build a nation out of one man. And of course, that was good old Abraham. And so this is the covenant of promise, where God chooses to take Abraham, called the Abrahamic covenant, and God is going to build a nation out of Abraham. And there's a lot to this particular covenant. And open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis 12. Now, if you follow along in the 254 verses I gave you on this, you need to read the context of not only the particular verse that mentions covenant, but also where God makes that covenant with Abram. And, of course, he follows through with Isaac and Jacob as well. And the descendants, that Abrahamic covenant continues on. Even after the time of Moses, God reinforces that Abrahamic covenant. So look here in Genesis chapter 12, looking down verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So here's the Abrahamic covenant. This is God's promise to Abraham. He tells him to get out of his country, leave his family, and to go where the Lord was going to lead him. And so he leaves his country, and he launches out there. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. What is that nation today? Israel. And so that great nation of Israel, well, were there some mistakes made in this? Oh yeah, too right when you think about the covenant that God made with Abraham and the promises that God made to Abraham. Were there any failures on God's part? No. Were there any failures on Abraham's part? Yes. And this is the way it is. You know, God makes these promises, but it's mankind that always fails God. But, you know, God has stuck true to his word right throughout, and he will continue to get the job done until time is finished and eternity begins. So God has a program, and he's going to make sure it's going to get finished. He's going to finish the job. When you got saved, he started a work in you, and he's going to finish it, okay? Philippians 1 verse 6, having begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to give up on you. He'll keep working on you, whatever it takes. And so we look here at the promise of God to Abraham. He commands Abraham to leave his country, to leave his kindred. And so Abraham believes God and he launches out. It tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Hebrews 11 that will help us to condense a lot of stuff we read in the Old Testament. So Abraham believed God and he moves out. So look at chapter 15. And he believed the Lord, he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He moved out when God said it, he moved out. It's like when God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. He didn't say, well, how am I going to do that? He believed God. He says, okay, I'll do the job. So faith. You were told on Wednesday night, faith is the engine that gets things done. Did I tell you that, Luke?
We'll go with that. Yeah.
Faith is the engine that accomplishes what we need to get done. And as you read Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find faith is the engine that got the job done with Abel, with Noah, with Moses, and with all those listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. So God calls Abraham out, wants you to leave your country and go to a land that I will show you. And so he launches out, and by faith he's heading off to a country where God is going to show him. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so Abraham has been told, I'm going to raise up a nation out of you. And he says, I'm going to give you a son and I'm going to bless him. And in him shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So the Abrahamic covenant is an important covenant. And so God commands Abraham to walk before him blameless. And we know Abraham's just a sinful human being like you and myself. Does Abraham, do the wrong thing occasionally? Yes. One of the biggest mistakes that Abraham made was when he had a son by Hagar whose name was Ishmael. That was nothing to do with the covenant of God that God had made with Abraham. That was not a part of God raising up a nation unto himself out of the loins of Abraham through a son called Ishmael. The trouble started 4,000 years ago and it's still going on today. I was telling one of our brothers here today, I saw a clip not long ago, Brother Phil. These two Islamic scholars were sitting down and they were discussing this in front of TV. And it was a video clip and someone sent it to me. These Islamic scholars were talking about, this is before the October 7th thing, and they were talking about the land over there that the Palestinians have got claim to and the Israelis have got claim to. And one Islamic scholar says to the other Islamic scholar, well, if we really knew the word of God like we're supposed to know the word of God, one Islamic scholar says to the other, we really have no claim to this land at all as Palestinians.
Wow.
And I mean, the other guy just, he's taken back. He says, when you really get down to it and you read, and he said the word of God, he wasn't talking about the Quran either. He said, you know, they had the word of God before ever we did. I mean, for an Islamic scholar to say that, wow. He said, you know, God promised Abraham all this land from here, way over there to a son called Isaac. God didn't promise that land to Ishmael. And I mean, I was taken back by that. And that Islamic scholar was taken back by it, especially when the other Islamic scholar says, well, you know, the Quran has nothing to say about this land that was promised to Abraham, whereas the Bible, the Old Testament, and incidentally, the Quran has some of the Old Testament in it. And so I thought, well, wow, isn't that something? But, you know, you never hear the media report on that sort of stuff. So God made a covenant with Abraham. He's going to give him this land over there, and it's going to stretch from this point to this point and over to this point and over so far. And God has made that covenant with Abraham. There's been a lot of changes with mankind down through the centuries, but God's still going to keep his word, and that land still belongs to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And incidentally, God gave them the right to defend themselves when it comes to the land that God had promised them. I mean, Abraham was told by God, he said, you know what? Your people are going to go down into a strange country, 75 of them. He said, they're going to be there 400 years, and then I'm going to deliver them and bring them back. And he's talking about them going into bondage down into Egypt and how he would bring them back from the land of Egypt, and there they would come back. And what were they going to do? God said, they will come back from Egypt and they will go back and take the land that I promised to you and to Isaac and to Jacob. They will go and take that land back and it will be theirs. So, and you can follow that through. From the time of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and you go into the wilderness of Sinai and then over into the land of Canaan, where Joshua takes them into the land of Canaan, and you follow this through and you see they're taking back the land that God had promised to Abraham. So the Canaanites had moved in there, and God says, you go in there, you wipe them out, you just get rid of them, get rid of all memories of them, all of their religion, all of their idols, everything, and we'll start afresh, because this is what I promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. So that Abrahamic covenant covers generations of people, and it's amazing to go down that through that. And so look over here in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. If you have a look at that 254 verses, and look at that word covenant, how many times that's referred to in the time of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It's just amazing how God had made these covenants based upon his word to mankind, what God was going to do. And God will do it. You can guarantee that what God says in his word was true then, and it's still true today. And there are things that are yet to be fulfilled through the promises of God to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. So Genesis chapter 17, look down with me in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow, that's a requirement, isn't it? Well, if anything, Abraham was certainly an imperfect human being. When you see some of the things that he did and some of the things that he said, Abraham was an imperfect human being. But God is still going to be true to his word, true to his vow, true to his covenants, and God's always that way. So he introduces to Abraham here in chapter 17 the covenant of circumcision. And of course, I don't want to get too personal in this, but this was a covenant that would separate the Hebrews, the Jews, from the other nations. So look on down with me here into verse 10. Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep, between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So this is actually a fleshly covenant, yet it's a spiritual covenant, and it was a sign. And that's one of the ways, incidentally, how the Jews could actually tell if a person was real or they were a fake. And they usually would get the boys and they would separate them and look at them and say, you're not one of us. And they'd get rid of them. And so when people would try to infiltrate Israel, that was one of the ways that they tested them. And of course, they were executed if they weren't circumcised, because this was God's covenant between Abraham and himself. And so the institution of circumcision, he commands all of Abraham's male descendants to be circumcised. Go back, if you would, to chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This verse 3 here is a part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. It still stands today. Woe be unto the nation that curses Israel. I mean, Israel is out in the wilderness right now, because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's covenant will still stand here. And the nation that curses Israel will have the curse of God upon it. We're seeing some things happening in the United Nations now, where nations are turning on Israel and trying to get them to do some things that Israel doesn't want to do. And I mean, they're even making threats on Israel. Well, woe be unto them that make the threats against Israel. One thing I've learned in all the years of being a preacher, brother, I saw the 1967 war. I thought, wow, I wasn't a preacher until 1974, but I saw what happened in 67. It made me sit up and take notice how that all these Arab nations attacked Israel and they were going to go in there, wipe Israel off the map, and all of a sudden it didn't happen. It got reversed on them. Yeah, and they lost. And they not only lost the war, but they lost a lot of ground. And that's still intact today. God intervened there on the promise, I believe, on Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise still stands today. I know people are going to gang up on Israel, but watch. Israel is God's time clock, even today. And so the hottest place on all the face of God's earth today is Israel. And so if you want to know what's happening, look at God's time clock. And all that that's happening surrounding the nation of Israel is also playing into this according to Scripture. But God's covenant is going to stand with the children of Israel, because God made a promise to Abraham, I'm going to make your name great, I'm going to make your people great, and your people will be a blessing. Now, I don't know if any of you know all this, but do you know that most of our medical ingenuity and medicines and that come from the inventions from the minds of Jewish people? Now, a lot of Islamic people don't realise that, but there are some that do, and they don't want antibiotics that were invented by Jews, and they die. So when you look at this here, God had made a promise to bless his people, and he has blessed his people. And the Jews are some of the most hated people on the face of God's earth. Now, I know so many of them are secular Jews. Some of them don't even believe in God. I mean, we had a couple in Townsville that I witnessed to for a number of years, and yeah, they didn't get saved until a few years later. And one of those, David Chris was his name, Carol was his wife. David got off the track there. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but his wife has been serving in a church in Victoria, Independent Baptist Church, Carol Chris. She's been serving down there in that Independent Baptist Church for about 38, 40 years. And so God can intervene in the lives of even secular Jews. I mean, I'd go to visit David and Carol, and she'd run off and hide in the room, and David would sit there and listen. Well, he got saved, she got saved. He's gone to be with the Lord. She's still serving the Lord. So it's just amazing how God can even save Jews that are secular Jews. And that's why we need to keep an eye on Israel, because God is still working there. And we've got missionaries in Israel. Andrew Lewis is there. And before all this stuff broke out over there in October the 7th, Andrew Lewis was out with his family giving out tracts in all those areas where all the bombings and all that first started in Israel before October 7th, 2 weeks before the massacre. They were down there giving out all these tracts and showing how that God's people had gotten away from God, had gotten away from the Word of God, and began to violate the Word of God. And the next thing you know, a fortnight later, all this stuff broke loose. They said, you need to get out of there and come home. He says, well, I'm staying here. And 2 weeks later, he's back there doing the same thing. So we do have fellows over there that are still witnessing in Israel, because Andrew believes that that's God's people. Though they're in the wilderness, God has made promises to them, and God's going to fulfill those promises. Yes, they will go through the tribulation, and then the Lord will come back and he will set up his kingdom. We'll come back with him. And, of course, it'll be a different world altogether. But God made promises to Abraham through the Abrahamic covenant. He said that his nation, this nation, would be a great blessing. And look at chapter 17. There's some spiritual giants in the Word of God, and Abraham is one of them. But if you read the life of Abraham, you find that he had a few flaws, had a few failures. And so I can identify with men like Abraham with some of the failures and that he had. But down here in Genesis chapter 17, God says he's going to make him a great nation. And then in chapter 17, down in verse 4, Genesis 17, 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So it wasn't just to Abraham, but to Isaac and to Jacob and to generations that would follow. There would be kings that the covenant made with Abraham would still be carried on even after Abraham's well and truly dead and gone. Isaac and Jacob are well and truly dead and gone, but the promises that God made to Abraham will still continue to go on. So God has made these promises. And if you look at verse 8, Genesis 17, 8, and I'll give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting covenant, and I will be their God. So the whole land of Canaan, God said, that's going to be yours. Your descendants, that will be theirs, because I'm the one giving it to them. That's why that is Islamic scholar says, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. If you go back and read the Jewish Old Testament, you find that our father Abraham was promised this land through his son Isaac. You won't find many Islamic scholars I will admit to that, but that's great. And so the ongoing promises that God made to Abraham are still true. They will be fulfilled, and some of the things that God promised Abraham will be reinstituted as time goes on. Things are on hold at the moment. But if you look down here into chapter 15, Genesis 15, Genesis 15, look at verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the river, the great river, the river Euphrates, from the Nile right across the Euphrates. That covers from this side of Egypt here right across into where Babylon was. And so that's going to be all yours because God promised it. And one day that's going to be fulfilled. And so God promises to watch over and protect Abraham and his families. And God has done that down through the centuries. And I believe God's still doing that. We know that there's been times where God actually sent nations in there to punish the children of Israel because they violated the covenants that God made with them. Not only the Abrahamic covenants, but also other covenants we'll look at later on, the Mosaic covenant and things like that. I mean, you look at the fact that they were being punished for their own sin. You read the confessions of Nehemiah and Daniel, you find that, you know, we're here paying the price for what we what our forebears have done, and they should have known better, but now we're the ones paying the price for it. See, God's word always comes true. And even the covenant that God made with Abraham and with Moses, he said, you know, if you violate the covenant, there's a price to be paid. And today, they're paying a price for the violation of some of those areas of covenant. So God promises to give the land of Canaan to the descendants of Abraham. He's the one that sets the boundaries, how far the land's going to go. And it will be an everlasting covenant. Look at chapter 17, verse 8. Chapter 17, verse 8. But like I said, read the 254 verses there, and you'll take in a whole lot of this in context. Chapter 17, verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God, an everlasting possession. And so that's a promise that God made to his people through Abraham. God promises to protect Abraham, chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 5, have a look at that while we're there, close by. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 5, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. The stars can't be numbered. God knows them all by name. And he says, we're going to make your people as the stars of heaven. That's a part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And then chapter 22, if you look there. We've had to leave a lot of this out to try and condense this to get this down. But chapter 22, verse 17. Best thing to do is just read through the book of Genesis. You'll get a whole heap of this. But chapter 22, verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So yeah, God's going to give a blessing, and that's going to be through Isaac, Jacob, through the tribe of Judah, and it will be, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be the Messiah, he would be the Redeemer. And in all of this was made through the covenant that God made with Abraham. And then, of course, chapter 26, verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So God speaks to Isaac, he speaks to Jacob, and says, this is what I told Abraham, this is what I told Isaac, this is what I'm telling you. So God reaffirms his covenant with the descendants of Abraham, confirms his covenant with them. Also, chapter 28, verse 10 through 15. You know, some, we got it in black and white, and that's one thing the Islamics didn't have. It was in the book of Genesis, long before ever there was such a thing as a Quran. And so it's always been here in black and white. So in chapter 28, verse 10, if you look there with me. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was setting. And he took of the stones of that place and put for them for his pillow and lay down in a place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven, or to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread it abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So God is a God that keeps his word, not only to the grandfather, but to the Father and to the Son. I'm going to keep my word. I've made a covenant and I'm going to stick by it. And so that Abrahamic covenant is still as good today as it was 4,000 years ago. And it will be fulfilled. People may not like it, but it's going to be done. It's going to be fulfilled. Genesis 35. So God tells Abraham, he says, you know what? Your people are going to go down into a strange country. They will be there for 400 years, but I will deliver them. And I'll bring them out, and they will go back and they'll inherit the country that I promised you. They'll have to fight for it. Genesis chapter 35. And there's more to the Abrahamic covenant. We're only just to hit the high spots on this when you look at the scriptures on this. But dig into it. Have a look at it, and you'll find there's a lot of fine detail that God has spelled out here. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 11. Genesis 35 and verse 11. Just bear with me while I get there. Genesis 35, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come of thy loins. And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee, give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up there a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon and poured out thereon. So God has made these promises. God reaffirms these promises. Three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he also reaffirms these promises of the covenant that he's made with these people down through the centuries, not only through the writings of Moses, but kings and that have come along. They've also been told these promises were made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Even the Lord Jesus Christ makes reference to the covenants that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it's still as true today and it's still as good today as it always was. Have a look at Genesis 49. Jacob was a prophet. He tells us about his own sons here. And I won't read the whole lot. But he makes, Jacob takes the covenant promises of God and divides them amongst his sons. And as you read through this 49th chapter, it tells us a lot about the sons of Jacob. And of course, it tells us that Joseph, verse 22, is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough, a by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers of Saul sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Well, we know all about that. His brother sold him into slavery down there in Egypt. But it talks about Judah. What does it say about Judah? It's a lion's whelp. Out of him shall come a what? A ruler, a Messiah, a king. And of course that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jacob already knows all this because God has already promised this. He's revealed this to Jacob. And you know what? Isaiah chapter 9. You follow through in the prophecies of God and you find the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. You see them being fulfilled, not only reiterated through the writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And you think, wow, God reaffirms his word, his covenant, his promises ongoing through the updated writings of men like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, where did that come from? God promised that to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Jacob was the one that said a ruler is going to come out of the tribe of Judah. And here we find it right here in Isaiah chapter 9 and also verse 6. And so God fulfills his word. And you can just watch and observe as time goes on. And you'll see things happening all around the place. You say, wonder why that's happening. Well, God's moving things into position. We see what's happening in Russia and Ukraine and Germany and all that sort, and the kings of the East. Well, I tell you what, that's the thing to watch. China, North Korea, South Korea, Taiwan. There's so much action going on out there right now. You need to have a look at that. Well, what's that got to do with now? Well, if you have a look at Scripture, we talked about the dispensations and the end of time and prophecy. The kings of the East are going to play a big part in the end times. And all that action that's happening out there right now, you need to keep an eye on because it has to do with what the future, what the Scripture says about prophecy. But God's going to keep his word. The Abrahamic covenant's going to be kept. And so if you look down here into Genesis chapter 15, how much time have we got left, Luke? Hey? That's 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
She lied to me. No, you didn't. Look over here. Okay, so God's going to keep his word. His covenant with Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham is still ongoing. It will be fulfilled. It may be on hold in a lot of aspects right now, but they will be fulfilled. Look here in Genesis chapter 15. Have a look at this here. In Genesis chapter 15, look down verse 13 and 14 with me. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety. What does that mean? Mark this down. This is going to happen. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So God says, you know what? They're going to go down there 400 years. They're going to multiply from 75 souls to 3.5 million. You agree with that, Brother Phil? About 3.5 million people came out of Egypt. That's what they reckon. That's 3.5 million people. Over 400 years they multiplied. I mean, the women were so lively and giving birth, the midwife says, man, we couldn't get there in time to kill those men child because the women had already delivered them. But so, yeah, God's word is going to be true. He's going to protect them. He's going to bring them out with a mighty arm. Now look down here, Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1. So God, that's what God told him in Genesis. This is what happened in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Look at verse 8. There arose a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Wow. Bigger population than the Egyptians, mate, and they said, they're a threat. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them, just like God said to Abraham, that's what will happen. They'll be afflicted and with their burdens, and built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. So God's word is being fulfilled here, even with the bad stuff that's happening. 400 years in Egypt, affliction and suffering, that would happen, but then God is going to deliver them. Chapter 3, we see God raises up a man by the name of Moses, and Moses is going to lead those people out of the land of Egypt because God promised it. He promised it to Abraham. They'll be there 400 years, but I'm going to bring them out again. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He's the one that foretold it. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into the good land, and a large and land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God says, I'm going to bring them to the land that I promised to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. Pharaoh says, well, I'm not going to let them go. Well, God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. What a lesson. You know, if he'd have just obeyed God the first time, he wouldn't have gone through all the suffering that he went through. But God's going to fulfill his word, he's going to fulfill his promises, and he's going to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, because God made those promises to Abraham. It's a part of the Abrahamic covenant. And so God sends those 10 plagues, and then of course we see that last plague where God said, I'm going to come through the land, and there's going to be death in every household wherein there's a firstborn. And so that happened that night. See, they were given the warning, and yet they didn't obey. Well, let's finish with Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. I don't know if you follow much on archaeology, but I think there's a site called archaeology.com, and they're finding more and more new stuff. Digging up, it's not new stuff, it's old stuff. They find all this new old stuff. They're saying, where did this come from? I didn't know this. I've heard rumours about that. Well, maybe the Bible's true on this. And so archaeology is confirming what we have here. Years ago, decades ago, they denied so many things that the Bible says or said. Now they come around and say, yeah, I think we're going to have to concur with the Bible, because the Bible talked about these things. And so archaeology has had to humble itself under the mighty hand of God to show us how accurate and true the Word of God is, even though we don't need archaeology to do that. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. The final judgment of the covenant of promise comes when God miraculously destroys the Egyptian army by drowning them in the Red Sea. And I won't read it all, but chapter 14, we see what happens here. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth and Migdol, and the sea over against Baal Ziphon, before ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. we got them trapped. We're going to go get them. Now God said, I'm going to destroy you so that you can't do that. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and they shall be, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord And they did so. I'm going to teach them a lesson so that they know I am the Lord God Almighty. That's what all those plagues were about. I'm going to teach Egypt a lesson because they wouldn't obey me and let my people go. So this is what I'm going to do to that nation that they might know who I am. And you know the rest of the story here as you follow this through. Verse 7 there, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, God led them through the way of the land of Philistines, although he was near... I can't even read that. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, that they see war and they return to Egypt. God says, I tell you what, we're going to hem them in where they can't go back. The only way is to go forward. And the only way they can go forward is if I open up the sea. And of course, the Egyptians are going to follow after them and they're going to try and get them back. But once they're on the other side, I'm going to shut it up. And guess what? Pharaoh got drowned. And all of his army drowned. Not one survivor survived out of the Egyptian army, including Pharaoh. They all got wiped out. And that's the promise that God has made, and God always fulfills his promise. So that's just a little bit of the part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. There's a lot more to it. Read through those 254 verses. Look at the context and when we come back for the next session, hopefully we'll have a lot of questions. Anything else? Thank you, Brother Luke. Go, Brother.